Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled The Messianic Secret. The scripture reading is Mark 3, 7 to 12. Thank you to Amy, Temi, Ed, and Dawn for being part of the service. Happy birthday this week to Shirley, happy anniversary to Tina and Earl, and to Gloria and John, who are celebrating their 60th.
Mark 3, verses 7 to 12. Jesus withdrew from his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and all the regions across Jordan, around the Tyre and the Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Thank you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us today. I just want to bring to you a brief message today. Always be concerned when a minister says it's going to be brief, but I'm sure it will be brief today. There's something in the Bible that is unique. It's often called the Messianic secret. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And yet, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus will do something spectacular and immediately tell his followers these words, "Don't tell anyone." It's confusing. Tell his followers, but don't tell anyone. It's difficult. But Jesus never wanted to be a political figure. He did not want people to come and make him king by force. That wasn't Jesus at all. He constantly talked about being a servant of all. So with that in mind, I want to share with you some of these wonderful scriptures. In Mark, it says in chapter 1, beginning around verse 40, a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged Jesus on his knees. So you can picture this. "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and just touched the man. Jesus said, "I am willing." And then Jesus said, "Be clean." Immediately, no time passes. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. And then Jesus says something rather curious. Jesus says to the man, "See that you don't tell anyone." I would want to tell everyone, but Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." It's interesting. The more Jesus tells people not to say anything, they can't help it. And they go ahead and spread that message. And so these scriptures to me are wonderfully unique and special in many, many ways. In Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, it says Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. In fact, when you read some of the Gospels, you find Jesus spending a lot of time at the lake. He seemed to like water and he liked boats and so forth. And then a large crowd from Galilee followed Jesus. And when they heard that all Jesus was doing, many people came to him from various places, Judea, Jerusalem, at Armenia, and other regions in that area, across the Jordan, in fact, and around Tyre and Sidon. So many people were coming to see him. And because of the crowd, he told his own disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. They were just surrounding him, for he had healed many people, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch Jesus. And then this interesting thing. Whenever the evil spirits saw Jesus, even the evil spirits fell down and cried out loudly, "You are the Son of God." They couldn't help it. Even though they're evil spirits, they couldn't help it. And they spoke it. But Jesus said to them, gave them strict orders, don't tell anyone. It's so interesting. Jesus does something wonderful, but don't tell anyone. And again, I think the reason for that was, I think many people believed, if he can do all these miracles and some of the things he says, let's make him king by force. That wasn't Jesus. He wasn't political. He had a mission. He was on the way to sacrifice himself for the sins of every one of us. Someone said, well, don't you mean like 2,000 years ago? Yeah. But us too. It's for us. Sometimes when we read scripture, it's not historical religion. It is the reality of God living in us. You are the Son of God, but Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anybody who he was. And Jesus certainly did not want demons advocating Jesus. So it's interesting that on occasion, Jesus would just grab some of his friends and just go off by themselves and talk and share. Because Jesus knew that he was going to be on the cross. He wanted all those disciples to remember all of these things so that they could teach others. And they could teach others. And they can teach others. And now in this year, in our year, 2024, it's the same thing. That we can share the message to everyone. It's not some kind of historical information. It is the true living God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, who lives in us. The same thing. Isn't it remarkable that God allows us what we have and what we can share and what we can teach? So he gives them strict orders not to tell anyone who he was. It seems for the time that the revealing of Christ's identity had not yet come. And certainly, he wanted all of this to come out. So then in Mark chapter 5, in verse 43, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue ruler, and says this, your daughter has died. I can't think of anything more tragic. Your daughter has died, they said. So why bother Jesus with this information? Your daughter has died. So don't bother Jesus. There's nothing he can do about it. Instead of Jesus being indignant, here's what happens. Ignoring all what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And Jesus went in and said to them with this question, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And then something very strange. They laughed at Jesus. They were ridiculing him. They laughed at Jesus. See, it's one thing to laugh with a person. It's never a good thing to laugh at a person. And then what comes next is truly unique. After Jesus put them all out, can you picture that? How did he put them all out? There's all these people in here. How did he put them out? I think, and I can remember these times on occasion, my father just looking at me in a certain way. And I knew what it meant. This is what it means. Jesus looked and they left. There was that authority look. Jesus put them all out. And he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. This is so sensitive. And Jesus said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, stand up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And Jesus, again, gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them, "Give her something to eat. She's healthy. She's alive. She's hungry. 12-year-olds are always hungry. Feed them. Everything is fine." So as I'm sharing this message today, it's not just the message. It's the understanding of sensitivity and care and how Jesus comes along reminding us of these precious words. And it might be helpful for some of you even today, no matter what you're going through. He says, with a promise, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you." But Jesus, sometimes it doesn't feel like you're with me. And I think he says, "Yeah, I know that, but I am." Jesus never backs off his promise. "I am with you always." So then in Mark chapter 7, around 31 through 37, it says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. And there are some people brought to him a man who was deaf, who could hardly speak, and they begged to place Jesus' hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears." Isn't that interesting? And I hope this doesn't gross you out, but this is what Jesus did. "Then Jesus spit and touched the man's tongue. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which means 'be opened.' At this, the man's ears were opened and he began to speak plainly." So what do you think Jesus says next? What do you think he does next? "Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Don't do it. Oh yeah, but I'm going to do it. So people were overwhelmed with amazement. They said, Jesus has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And then in Mark chapter 8, starting around verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and again begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And then he did something really unique that we would think is kind of gross. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked the man, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around." And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into your village and what? Don't tell anyone." And the more they didn't tell, the more they did tell. So then in Mark, again in chapter 9, so you can just picture this being there, standing afar and watching it, even to this day. After 6 days, and this is so cool, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and they walked up to a high mountain where they were alone. So you can just picture that. Then Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white. And then it says, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were chatting with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Jesus, the Messiah. Moses, who writes the 10 commandments by God. Elijah, the prophets. It seems like the whole Bible coming together at once. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I love." And what do you think he says next? "Listen to him." All these things, all these miraculous things, wonderful, amazing, incredible, beautiful, but listen to him. It's true today. Listen to Jesus. Jesus promises, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. I will never, ever leave you." Listen to him. And so this is what we try to do every time we come together. Listen to the Father. Listen to Jesus. Listen to God's Holy Spirit. Listen to the scriptures. Suddenly they looked around. They no longer saw anyone except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them the orders. Don't tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. And then the disciples will tell other people. And so in Mark 10 and 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then following the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we want to tell everyone. Just tell everyone about this. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped Jesus. This is after the resurrection. But some doubted. Hopefully, prayerfully, we would never doubt. We would never doubt. Then Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples." That's us. We're all disciples. We're all Christians. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you," and then his promise, "Surely, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age." So in this brief message, can I just sum it up by saying these words? Don't tell anyone. Seems rather strange. Jesus did not want people to force him to be a king, a political king. He is king of our life. Jesus demonstrates this beautiful Jesus every second of the day. He's open for business. You can't sleep? Talk to Jesus. Things are confusing? Talk to Jesus. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The greatest among us will be a servant. As Jesus served us, he showed us. He encourages us. He helps us to serve others. Jesus is miraculous for not just what he said and did, but what he says and does for us each and every second of the day. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.